Samuel Orton was a neuropsychiatrist and pathologist at what was once known as the Iowa Psychopathic Hospital in Iowa City when he first identified dyslexia as an educational problem in 1925.
He actually called the problem streptosymbolia, twisted symbols, and thankfully that name didn't stick.
Terry Peterson uses an approach developed by Dr. Orton to teach students with learning disabilities at Summit School in Cedar Rapids.
It's a very phonetic approach. It's multisensory. We know now from brain scans, imaging, that certain parts of the brain of the dyslexic aren't working as they should.
What Dr. Orton noticed in his early experiments with a group of five boys who were unable to read was they seemed to benefit from being able to see, sound out, and form letters simultaneously.
So let's all go ahead and write finally in the air. Ready? Finally.
F-I-N.
Denise Little is using the principles formulated by Dr. Orton and his research partner, Anna Gillingham, in her second grade class at Prairie Heights Elementary School in the College Community School District, south of Cedar Rapids. Her students are forming letters in the space in front of their faces. This is a regular classroom, not one filled with kids struggling to read. But Little has long experience teaching students with specific learning disabilities by following the Orton-Gillingham approach and finds it works with other kids as well. Little grew up with a learning disability, unable to read until fourth grade despite having a first grade teacher for a mom. She says it's important to start small with a kid fighting to understand language and then build a vocabulary from there.
They will just start with what is the name of this letter and what sound does it make, to taking it all the way to reading a complete paragraph. How do you get kids to phrase? How do you get children to think about what they're reading and comprehend what they're reading?
Followers of Orton-Gillingham say it's easier to introduce struggling students to the 42 basic sounds of English and the letters they represent than it is to memorize thousands of words by sight the way many people are taught to read. Dyslexic children may have problems blending sounds to make words or segmenting words into sounds. Proponents of the Orton-Gillingham approach say it helps address this issue. Kathy Specketer is the state coordinator for the Learning Disability Association of Iowa. She says the important thing is to get aid to kids having trouble reading as soon as possible.
You cannot waste time when they're young, when they're sponging things up and their brains are plastic. That's the time to really intervene and really do what they need to do, because it's going to be harder the older they get.
For this reason, school districts are turning to a method of academic intervention known as Response to Instruction, or RTI. It's believed if a child fails to respond to a scientifically tested approach to learning in the early grades, the more likely he or she is to have a biologically based specific learning disorder. Ellen O'Keefe is the chair of the Education Department at Mount Mercy University in Cedar Rapids. She says RTI is replacing the discrepancy model of evaluation, which measures the gap between a child's aptitude and his or her performance based on report cards or standardized tests.
We have tended over historical time to wait until students have failed. So we've waited until they've been in third grade or fourth grade and they still haven't had those peak reading experiences or writing experiences or math experiences before we intervene.
Supporters of RTI claim the process brings more clarity to the job of identifying kids with specific learning disabilities. Opponents say it simply points to low-achieving students. But sometimes a child continues to have trouble reading even after an intervention. Such was the case of Jefferson Scranton High School senior Mary Larson. From the earliest days of her formal education, she lagged behind her grade school classmates.
I had to get two textbooks from all my classes so then my dad could read it and I could follow along, because if I don't see the text and hear it, I couldn't comprehend it.
She wasn't officially diagnosed with SLD until fifth grade, but she continued to struggle to keep up through middle school. Then she and her family convinced the school administration to provide some assistive technology to help her with homework.
This is my stat book.
In.
The speed's turned way down low. I had to turn it up.
In Chapter 10, you studied inferential methods for comparing the means of two populations.
Mary Larson is reading her statistics assignment using a text-to-speech software program. She can scan books into her computer and highlight information from the internet to hear what she can't decipher from the page. She carries with her throughout the day a school-supplied laptop, a perk some of her fellow students bristle at.
Many kids have told me, oh, Mary cheats, Mary's cheating, and like, I think it's, I don't know if they're jealous or what, but sometimes it hurts when they say that, like, Mary doesn't deserve the grades that she gets.
She also uses a voice recognition program that types as she narrates. She says her grades have improved tremendously since she's been allowed to bring some technology into the classroom. It's enabled her to stay with the mainstream students instead of being peeled off into special education. She's about to realize a lifetime goal. Mary Larson is heading to Iowa State in the fall to study business management and marketing. In Jefferson, I'm Rob Dillard, Iowa Public Radio News.